We're going to do it together. We have to unify, put our petty differences aside, who's more powerful, who has the information, and let's work together in lockstep. You, the people, your stories are fascinating. They're real, they're organic, and they're the truth.
Right now with Ann Vandersteel. Good evening and welcome to Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. 30 minutes of hard-hitting headline news, all signal and zero noise, brought to you by Satellite Phone Store. Go to sat123.com. Tonight, Ohio, the real story behind East Palestine. What are the local residents saying that the national news is not reporting? And why is this emergency looking like a land grab? What role did the My ID bracelets play in tracking the local residents? And how will private companies profit from the carbon credits and cleanup over in West Virginia? And lastly, why is the government spending billions to buy non-productive oil wells? All that and more. Joining me tonight is Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers. You know him as Doc, that's right. He is a former Green Beret flight surgeon, one of six in the world. He is quite in demand right now as he's been traveling all over, but most recently coming back from East Palestine area where he has been doing soil sampling, meeting with rural farmers and many more local residents to bring us the real news behind what's happening up in Ohio. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at sat123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit sat123.com to get one while they're still available.
Many watching Bridie on TV will remember the fiery speech from Dr. Alan Keyes at the annual state Republican dinner that ended in repeated standing ovations. Dr. Keyes has been an articulate and passionate spokesman for faith, convictions, and consistently strong enough to resist the tug of political convenience. Alan pierces through the ethical haze of our time and calls us to stand up for the truth, knowing that you cannot have the right to do wrong. Get your download of Our Character, Our Future, an audiobook by Dr. Alan Keyes, exclusive to the Bridie on TV audience. Dr. Alan Keyes personally read and recorded our exclusive audiobook version of his timeless essays in Our Character, Our Future for this very special promotion. You can order it by going to www.imtv.us and click on Special Offer. It's available at only $19.95 for a very limited time. You'll not only enjoy a tremendous savings, but you'll get an amazing piece of literature read by Dr. Alan Keyes himself. Get yours today. Go to www.imtv.us and get this Bridie on TV exclusive offer.
Welcome back to Right Now. I am joined with Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers. You know him as Doc out there. He has been traveling around the country. And Doc, it's great to have you in the studio here at Right Now. Thank you for stopping by.
It's great to be here.
I had you and Michael Yon in the studio in the same day. I feel like I had the jackpot, and yeah. Jane Ruby's coming by later on.
Yeah, so this is like the cool kids.
You know? Something like that.
Think about that in high school. But no, honestly,
you're the cool kids. I just get to be around them.
But great Americans.
Yeah, great Americans. Great Americans. All right, so listen, you just got back from doing a tour of duty, going up and investigating what has been a catastrophic accident up in East Palestine and those poor people up there, and what we're hearing downwind of the rural farmers in the Amish community, not even knowing there was an accident, let alone a cloud coming their way, is very scary.
Right.
But we shouldn't jump to conclusions, is what I'm hearing you talk about.
Right.
Okay, so give us a briefing.
Sure. Okay, so I left out of Florida and went up there to look at soil reclamation for the food force abundance guys, right? We knew there was a situation. We knew there was chaos. When you control chaos, it's what helps you get through, but you got to control your controllables. So mine is assessments on the ground and understanding how to find the truth, right? And in the truth, and especially in my own country, I've done it downrange, the center of gravity is people. They're the most precious commodity we have in this nation, people. It's most people. When we're looking at a spill of some toxins, we don't know what they are yet. I've seen bills of lading. I've seen what they say are in them. Is it vinyl chloride, polyvinyl chloride?
These are the bills of lading of the cars?
Of the cars.
Of the train
right.
cars, okay.
120 cars, 11 of which tipped over, 5 of which had some sort of chemical in it. That was uncontrolled release, is what I call it, on the ground, 3 days after, burned. Okay, was put out into a ditch by the train, by the railroad. I was not at ground zero. I stay out of ground zero for a reason. That has to do with response. You go in with teams prepared because you don't know.
Right.
It's like an IED downrange, an explosion downrange. We don't send our first responders running right in because that's a target. In this case, the target could be a chemical. And so that's what we did up front. My mission changed from soil reclamation, looking at the soil and figuring it out, to talking to the people, because there were groups already out there on the ground doing that. I coordinated with those groups, and those samples are still coming in. So hang in there, Ohio and West Virginia. Hang in there. The samples are coming in, because those will be truth, and the truth will set you free. Right?
So let's talk about the samples and where you've collected them. Where have they been sent off for evaluation?
To local laboratories.
Okay.
One group went to Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Okay.
To the military side. Not an official chain, but using that lab, and then another lab in Texas. And I'm going to keep those safe because it's important.
Okay, I want to take a quick sidebar here. Fort mm-hmm. Detrick involved in the COVID-19
Absolutely.
Pandemic, and not in a good way, I might add. So are you feeling good about any results you're going to get from Fort Detrick? Do you expect them to be in line with the other two laboratories?
I'm feeling good about the truth, because okay. if it deviates from the other labs, then I'll know. It's kind of a test.
It is kind of a test. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've met with farmers, Amish farmers, mm-hmm. and you've met with local residents. Have you spoken to anybody that has been on site at Ground Zero?
Yes.
Okay, what's the report you're getting from there?
There's a group of Middle Ohio Valley citizens, okay. concerned citizen group that's been formed for over 10 years now. And from them, I've learned specifically the details that on the 3rd, there was a train that crashed. That 3 days later, there was an uncontrolled release. This is not the typical hazmat response to burn chemicals into the air. This is not the typical response. Usually a truck pulls up alongside, they drill a hole safely into the tank, release it into the truck, and take that hazardous material out of it. We don't burn these things, especially if we don't know what are the results, second and third order effects of the chemicals that are released into the air.
So some were saying they burned it because they wanted to get the tracks open right away. Could that have been a reason?
That is a reason. I heard that from the federal side. I heard that from the state side, which would be the governor of Ohio. Mm-hmm. But as I did my key leader engagements, I learned more over 4 days, which to me made it look like this is a shiny object. Look at me. And there are other things that are taking place.
Okay, so let's talk about the other things, because mm-hmm. there's a lot happening right now in the world. We had Michael Yan on earlier on the Zelenka report, and we were talking about the migration coming in through the border right now. We're talking about the World Economic Forum's meeting all week about this international pandemic treaty right. and the international health regulations. All of these things are going to force people into doing things they don't want to do. And of course, COVID-19 was somewhat of a forced migration, depending on whether you wanted to be in a state where lockdowns were seemingly endless and you could move to Florida where right. we were free. So there's a migration that's being manipulated by forces out of our control at this point in time. What you just said, they decided to blow this up and burn it 3 days later, putting a black plume into the sky that the satellites could clearly see.
Right.
That would scare people. And you have to wonder, am I safe living here now that this potential bad chemical fallout is hitting my property? Are you hearing people talking about migration?
Absolutely. Number one, amongst 5 different meetings that I had, some with 10 people in the room, key leaders all the way down to, and I'm not going to minimize them, the Amish just in their home as they invited me in, hearing that there was this guy traveling through the countryside and they wanted to talk to him from Texas. What I found was common speak was making our land uninhabitable. Corporate privateers and government lackeys coming in. We're used to this in the Ohio River Valley. This is their This is the conditioned response that they're used to.
So they've seen this. They've seen this. In what fashion have they seen this playbook? What other examples?
In energy, mm-hmm. in mineral, and in farming. So those are the three big areas. And this is a breadbasket of that particular region. Okay. This beautiful land. It's just amazing. You got the coal mines to the south in West Virginia. You got an oil reserve, the second biggest in the lower 48 in that region. That's been there since, remember, Pennsylvania, all the way down through Ohio River Valley, was the birthplace of oil in this country. Now I'm from Texas, so I brag about that. But but that region is rich in that. Those are targets to other people. You know, the center of gravity is people for
right,
us.
Right.
The center of gravity for them is things,
right.
control,
right.
Not people. Moving people to 15-minute cities is what I heard over and over and over again.
So the people that live in the region are right. concerned about being forced out of their rural lifestyle and pushed into a 15-minute smart city.
Some mentioned that. Some said, I'm not leaving my home. I'm fourth generation Ohio River Valley. This is what I heard directly from these people. I'm not leaving. A lady gave me her flag covered in soot and said, this is my husband's. He was a Marine. He died last year from the COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell me specifically, but that was the point. Point was, here's my flag that was my husband's. It has soot on it from this cloud. Right. I'm giving this to you, but I want you to know this, Doc. I appreciate you being here. I'm not leaving my home.
Okay, so in terms of private companies profiteering from what has been a catastrophic oil spill, call it the chemical toxic spill, how is it that they're going to translate this by moving people out into something that the World Economic Forum is pushing, which is, of course, removing carbon from the atmosphere? Because we're seeing Bill Gates, of course, doing his spraying of whatever it is in the atmosphere to dim the sun. They're actually terraforming. They're sucking carbon out of the atmosphere, and they're pumping it underground, which makes no sense because, frankly, from my understanding of biology and chemistry, plants need carbon. They need carbon dioxide for photosynthesis.
Absolutely,
so how do they expect, how do they expect to profit from this? Is this all part of the agenda?
This, from what I understand, I'm not an expert in this world, but the ESG, mm-hmm. the ESG scores, the credit, carbon credits, these are things that are tradable in the bond market. I heard this up there several times, but when you put action to it, when you find something actionable, and I need some more research on this, but there is an incinerator plant that Senator Manchin and the governor of West Virginia, Justice, are going in on a $50 million incinerator plant in the area of the Ohio River Valley around Parkersburg. I don't have the exact town. I need more research. We'll find that out. Anybody out there that's on this, let us know. I do have a contact. When they pump those in the ground, when they move that in the ground, they produce several things. One is graphene, okay? Graphene is something to be used in batteries. Mm-hmm. Just so happens there's a battery plant being built nearby. This is why I'm talking about corporate privateers,
right.
The pirates of today. And this graphene plant to take the place of the lithium batteries that are heavy, that catch on fire in places like Fort Myers when there's a hurricane.
Or in Teslas that are driving down the road
Teslas,
and autopilot.
These lithium batteries, they're very heavy, et cetera. The graphene is produced by this incinerator plant. We're talking about medical waste. We're talking about oil waste, oil byproduct, putting them in incinerators. Another thing that's incinerated is treated wood. When you incinerate treated wood, you get cyanide as a side effect. Okay, that's just a side effect of it. That's why you don't take treated wood and put it in your fire pit. You just
right.
don't do that.
Right.
And then another thing that's created is the carbon, the actual carbon coming off of it. When they pump that into the ground, right, when they take that away, first of all, you're taking carbon dioxide out of the air and putting it in the ground, but there is a carbon credit score that goes with it, a carbon credit.
Okay.
And that's where people smarter than me are gonna have to figure this out. My job is to identify it on the ground. So you have lithium battery or graphene battery plant, you have the incinerator plant. And then the third part of this that I heard from people that are really, really, second, third generation oil people, mid-level, not large corporations, not the Exxons and all those, is a gentleman that had 200 wells there, 77-year-old man, wonderful family. He produces oil and natural gas in the region. Right. This natural gas goes into the local townships. Got to keep a certain amount of pressure in. When the EPA comes in and shuts his wells down because water has been put into the ground via injection wells, this is a process.
For fracking.
For fracking is an angular one, moving it out. Okay. This is an injection well to bring in heavy water, not heavy like deuterium, but heavy like heavy. It's heavier than the average water.
Right.
It has a lot of brine in it. when these things start coming up, the water starts coming up around it, because remember, there's a fault line going through there,
right.
and water moves through that fault line,
right.
And there are layers that are getting squashed, and there are seismographs at most of these locations that are picking up the movement. When you see that, EPA can come in and shut down a well. They can shut them down, they told me, for a oil spill, you know, in their
so yard. Essentially, they are looking for a reason to shut down the energy process. We're almost out of time here on this segment.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring you back after the commercial break, because not only do I want to talk about the people that are responsible for all of this besides our public-private partnerships, but we want to zero in specifically on the companies that I know right now have a vested interest in making sure that this land grab happens.
Right.
And of course, getting back to bond and how bond trading and how they make money with the ESG credit scores and carbon scores is really important, because people are like, what does that exactly mean? We're going to stick with right here at Brighteon on Right Now with Ann Vanderchill. Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers sitting here in the hot seat with me. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones. We've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
For your support of this platform, use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Welcome back to Right Now with Ann Vanderchill. And right now we're sitting here with Pete Chambers, Lieutenant Colonel, as you know, Doc, who just got back from up near the hot zone outside East Palestine, Ohio. Doc, we were just talking about, you know, the fact that these folks, as we say, the demons, I call them, the people from the World Economic Forum, the Black Rocks of the world, the vanguards of the world, the people who have a vested interest in controlling everything here in the United States, seemingly so now, trying to migrate people, and they have been doing this now with COVID and lockdowns, trying to migrate us into these 15-minute cities and selling it to us like this is a great lifestyle. But the problem with that is when you put a lot of people in a small area, if supply chains break down, as we witnessed with COVID, people run out of food very quickly.
Right.
So we're sitting right now in a very precarious position because our country is under attack in a lot of different directions. And what you're learning from where you just returned is that people are concerned about whether or not they feel safe in the environment in which they are, knowing that a massive chemical spill and fire intentionally set by the EPA and by the local Ohio authorities has resulted in whether or not, in chemicals that have been rained down on their farms or perhaps in their drinking water or worse, in the air, and they're breathing it. Not having clear answers to that, there's a narrative that's being pushed right now in the mainstream media. It's get out, get out, get out.
Right. And this is a panic. Perception is reality.
Right.
I use this a lot.
Right.
Perception is reality, and they want people to panic. Okay. Before we do that, let's measure twice and cut once. So we have to do these tests. We have to understand. We have to protect ourselves. There are things we can do. There are medications. There are nutraceutical things that we can do, not big pharma medications, that we can do to protect ourselves. We can move out of the hot zone. Now, if I'm in that hot zone, I'm taking my family out. Just the hydrocarbons alone are dangerous.
Right.
That will kill birds. Okay, just burning wood at that rate, or petrochemicals. So that's a concern. But we have to make sure that we don't just vacate the land, vacate those jobs, those businesses that are created by good Americans for generations, and let the privateer corporations come in with the dirty politicians that exist out there. Not all are, but few and fewer are my friends.
Few and far between are the good guys.
Right? And we have to see it for what it is. This is fifth generation warfare. This is not just, oh, well, it's been going on forever. We're just going to accept this. We're not going to accept this.
Right.
We're not going to accept it by understanding that the different phases that we're in, that when something like this happens, okay, initial phase, boom, plume of smoke, a heroic phase takes place, heroic. People come in and they stand up and they do the right thing, right? Carefully, they do the right thing. And then there's this phase after that where the truth settles in, right? And then the heroic phase is gone and people start leaving, and then they become kind of disillusioned.
Right.
In their government, in the local government, they become disillusioned. They fall for traps. That's where the fifth generation warfare information operation campaign is the most effective.
So what are you seeing in the campaign of fifth generation warfare at this particular juncture right now, 2.5 weeks after this catastrophe?
I don't see a lot of disillusionment in the people on the ground, but the rest of us in America watching this have moved on to the next thing, okay?
Well, because there's always the next thing.
And there is always the next thing.
Right.
That's why the people on the ground, and they're still out there, and there's still groups that are out there helping, need to know that don't get disillusioned, that there are still people that care. There are still people that care, because that last phase, the reconstruction phase, that's the one where that's the long haul of this, where we find out what the chemicals said, where we did the right thing. In talking to the Amish down there who had no information whatsoever, 50 miles away, 100 miles away in different zones, they do things like Paul Revere-wise. You know, here I was, the Paul Revere from Texas, showing up in their living room and telling them, hey, do you know what just happened? And their response was, holy buckets, what?
Right.
You know, and they didn't know. And I asked them, would any animals die? No, nothing.
You know what I find interesting? You said Amish, you know, there was 300,000 Amish that voted for President Trump in 2016 that basically helped him carry Pennsylvania.
Right.
Does this feel like they were targeted, or is that just, am I being a conspiracy
theorist? They are targeted, America. I promise you that, because that's what they feel. They don't have a voice. They don't truly have a voice, because their voice is really with God. I mean, these people are what I aspire to be in my walk. They live it, okay? And they have no malice towards anyone and no hatred, and they know that the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. They know that, they live that.
Right.
But then there's guys like me coming in going, you're not gonna be taken advantage of anymore. We're gonna come in and we're gonna protect you. But in knowing that, that's information. So get on your Percheron horse and drive to the next ranch and tell them.
Right.
And we'll call you with a phone, even though you don't have one, and we'll send somebody down. But this is not the first time. Amos Miller, a couple months ago in December, I believe it was, he just got done with a 2-year case selling cows, Amish guy selling cows in Pennsylvania, I think somewhere. And they knew him, they were cousins to him. Everybody was cousins to that family where I was. And in the family I walked in, they just got hit up by the health department for milk, selling whole milk. Now, don't want to get too much in the weeds, but the point is that this is a target.
Right.
This is a target, American prosperity. Because it's looked at like we can't tax that. We can't take that.
Right.
We need to push them off their land. We're going to scare them. These scare tactics are what moves people, human osmotic pressure.
Right.
Like Michael Yon says, handful war, you know, pandemic, famine, war, that pushes people. In this case, we're talking about a pandemic of chemical response.
Right.
And that's where we have to be careful.
So I want to dive into a little bit about the big corporations that are clearly owned by the BlackRock Vanguards of the world, which is of course connected to the World Economic Forum, which is of course meeting this week with their international health regulations, these amendments that the United States government and Joe Biden is saying, guess what, America, we are going to give away your freedom to Tedros, to one dictator at the World the World Homicide Organization, the WHO. We're going to give it to Tedros because he knows better than all of us. He knows better than you, America, about what you should do with your body. So understanding that this massive conspiracy of bad people is coming together. DuPont is a chemical plant. Mm-hmm. You talked about before break about the graphene that's going to be created and used for replacement in the lithium and the batteries that, of course, the Teslas of the world and other EV cars are using. What is this particular role that DuPont Chemical has played in all of this with respect to potential forced migration and a land grab?
Right, so DuPont Chemical is one that I heard about specifically in that even from the 80s back as far back as, there was a Teflon incident where it was leaked out. And there were people that died earlier than they should have in the close proximity. There was an oil well nearby and some of those workers died earlier than they should have. very much a concern, right? These are not, we don't want this to happen to our families.
Right.
And so that becomes a site that's uninhabitable, unusable, and it's slowly, slowly, this is from the 80s on. But if we look just a little before that in the 70s and we see Henry Kissinger and he comes out with his report that says, and it was classified, it was declassified, 500 million people in the world. Shortly thereafter, the Cairo Accords happened. And that's where they listed it and said it.
Yeah.
Davos people pick up on it, they're rolling with it. You got Klaus Schwab, he's carrying it through. Yeah. I mean, and so we see this Agenda 2030. They talk about it. They have to do it because if it's satanic, they must talk about it so that they can justify it.
Right.
And so we see these things. And I never would have thought 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I'd be talking about this because I gotta see things that are physical, that
right.
are concrete. You know, the enemy's there, that's where I go. Now, the more that I study, the deeper the patterns stand out. That's why I tell people study. Just like Michael Young, guy reads a book every day. Study, study, study. These patterns will stick out.
So looking through the eyes of a Klaus Schwab, mm-hmm. or Yuval Noah Harari, how are they looking at this catastrophe in East Palestine to the advantage of their agenda?
Because we are either useful idiots or useless eaters to them, okay? And I look at people like, we look at people like we're the oppressed at this point.
Right.
Because.
Deo oppresso libera.
Deo oppresso libera, that's right. I mean, Green Beret motto, to free the oppressed. Our Savior's model as well. So to me, when you see that, that stands out as well, mm-hmm. evil. AI agenda, you know, artificial intelligence, transhumanism, 5G networks.
Did AI play any role in this accident to the best of your ability, or is it playing any role in the actual media narrative, the social media response to things that are being published on Twitter or Facebook or wherever? Is there any role that AI might be playing in all of this?
I believe there is, and I believe it has to do with the usurping of our freedoms online. Because AI governs online. It's a lot easier for them to use that technique. I can't say the name of it because the last time I said the name of that particular program, the show was shut down.
Okay, well, we won't do that.
We won't do that. But we'll discuss it later, far away from our phones. You think I got a tin hat on?
Mine's solid gold.
Yours is solid gold.
My tin hat went solid gold last year because I realized we were a bunch of spoiler alerts. We're not even conspiracy theorists. We're now fact-checking the conspiracies. That apparently the World Economic Forum believes that they know better than us. All right, in terms of wrapping this up, because we've got about 2 minutes left, Pete, give me your projection for where you think this is going, and how would you advise the people that live in the area that are downstream, downrange from that accident?
If you're in the hot zone, I would still be cautious, measure three times, cut once. I would probably, if it was me personally, I would just go ahead and move out of there to a family's house in the hot zone, specifically around that zone there. Take care of yourself. Search in some of the places where you can find something that's a nutraceutical or something. Look, simple as green tea. Simple as green tea will help prepare your body for it. Things that cleanse your liver because as these things cycle through as if you're exposed because it's chronic exposure if it is vinyl chloride. We don't know that yet. So I don't want you to run off and evacuate the Eastern Seaboard.
Right.
That's one. And then also, control your controllables. Control things you can, because when you start getting too much information, it can be overwhelming. And so that's a mindset thing. And then, you know, we've just got to continue to pray and bless their weak little hearts on that side of the, on the other side, because should we get too far down this road and we allow people to move us into these 15-minute cities or the 10 new FEMA camps being built, what's going on? If we didn't talk about that, then,
I'm getting vinyl chloride talking to you.
Yeah, right. Because I was there. It's just doesn't. But yeah, we have to watch out for that because the WHO treaty, if that goes through, then it goes back to some exhorts all the way back to George Bush Jr., which allowed for quarantine in the United States.
2005. That's right. That's when it all started. You got to thank George Bush Jr. Well, listen. Doc, always good to see you. Thank you for spending the evening with us. I'm so happy that you're here.
Yeah,
and we have Dr. Jane Ruby that will be joining us tomorrow as well. So, folks, you don't want to miss that. This is just one hit after another right now with Ann Vander. So I hope everybody has a great evening. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to the Brighteon Network, the fastest growing new media platform out there, folks. Tell your friends about it. Tell them to subscribe. And please, by all means, share this show out. Have a great evening, everybody. Good night.